Wednesday, February 28th, 2024. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope your week is off to a strong start. I hope it's going well. I hope you, your family, your friends are all staying strong and you are all staying healthy right now. And yes, tomorrow, February 29th, is the last day of February. Remember, we do have a leap year this year. Yes, that's right, kids. We have an entire day tomorrow to just do whatever we want, right? I mean, does it get any better than that? Just a full day. Hey, extra day. Do whatever you want. How are we going to spend that day tomorrow? How are you planning on spending your leap day, February 29th, just a completely extra day that we just got? It's just a bonus. How are you going to spend that day? Yeah, probably like me, just like any other day, right? Like get up, go to work, whatever, just same old stuff, right? You would think that we could have like a leap day celebration. Like you get the day off, you can just have a big party all day. That's not what we really do. We just kind of go about it like any other normal, boring day, right? But I will say this. The end of February does kind of signify that winter is coming to an end. And that spring is on its way. And I mean, what better reminder do we have that spring is coming than the fact that Major League Baseball decided to come out with some brand new uniforms? Hey, baseball's coming. It's already almost here, but Major League Baseball brought out some new uniforms. And what better sign do we have that spring is coming and that baseball is coming than Major League Baseball tripping over their own feet? Yes, because Major League Baseball came out with some brand new uniforms. They say they are Nike generated. They are Fanatics produced uniforms. They were used last year at the All-Star game. Well, many players say they really like them. They're a lighter feel. They don't seem so heavy. They breathe. They feel a little cooler. They kind of like them.
Hey, did you know that the Yankees don't wear cotton jerseys?
Of course, they're polyester.
Well, what is that? That's a crime. You know how hot those things get? They should be wearing cotton.
Why do they wear polyester?
I don't know. That's all going to change.
But they said that there is a challenge to these new uniforms. You see, the uniforms have bigger numbers. They have big letters, which are good. But it also kind of feels crowded, like everything's bigger. And so it looks like you're trying to fit a lot of things into a really small space. Not ideal. And there's one other problem. It seems that Nike, when they made these, they made pants that are kind of eggshell colored. And that fabric, it's a little bit thin. So what did we get with the baseball uniforms? Yes, we got see-through MLB uniforms. Look, this is already a sport that is kind of centered around guys adjusting their junk. Do we really need to see said junk? Can Major League Baseball ever not submarine themselves? I mean, think about what they do. From poor promotion in general to hiding their playoffs where no one could ever find them, put them on a channel no one subscribes to, and then, I don't know, make them like at 11 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday. That's how they do their playoff games. To hiding their opening day. Quick, when's opening day? Oh, okay, where are you going to watch? I don't know any of those answers. I have no idea who's playing opening day. For all I know, they're going to play it overseas, like in Japan or something. They've done that before. And then they put it on at like 2 a.m. in the United States. Well done. Can Major League Baseball ever just not be stupid. Now we get see-through uniforms. And you sit there and you think, okay, MLB has some smart guys. They have to, right? They can't be dumb. You can't get hired to work for Major League Baseball and be a dummy, right? And yet, why does it feel a little bit like maybe George Costanza is working in the front offices? They don't do anything right ever. And now they bring out uniforms that are see-through. They probably shrink when you wash them. And you're going to have players running around like penguins.
And the Yankees take the field.
And what is with the Yankees? They look like they're having trouble running. They can't move.
It's their uniforms. They're too tight. They've shrunk. They're running like penguins.
Hey, kids, February is nearly over. Spring is coming. Spring is in the air, and how can you tell? Because Major League Baseball is doing stupid, stupid things as usual. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, make sure you are stopping by DailyDoseSports.com. We put up new articles every week. We have links to the podcast. We have links to the YouTube videos. And yes, we have links to Daily Dose gear. You might need a t-shirt. You might need a hoodie. You might need a sweatshirt. Maybe you need like a coffee mug or something for the office. We've got a number of different styles. Just go to DailyDoseSports.com and you can find exactly what it is that you need. Hey, today on the show, I know the NFL season is over. The Super Bowl is over. That is all in our rearview mirror. We are looking forward, except we're not quite done talking about the NFL. Not quite yet. Got a couple things to discuss because as we look around that league, we know the offseason can be wild. We've got free agency coming. We've got the NFL draft coming. So what are teams looking to do in this NFL offseason? Well, today, we are going to look at the biggest questions that we have for every single NFL team and see what they might be looking to do this offseason. It's a little bit interesting to kind of check in and see where they are looking to go in their offseason ventures, because we know there's a lot of things on the line. We want to see what each team is going to do. But first, we do have a little bit of news to discuss, and you might not realize this, but did you know that college football, they're already trying to screw up their new postseason football tournament? That didn't take long at all. Last Tuesday, the format for the expanded 12-team playoff that is going to determine the champion in 2024 and 2025 was finally announced. How are they going to do it? How is this all going to break down? We finally found out last week, just 6 months before the season is going to start. Well, it didn't take long for these people in charge to already start looking at expanding it. So we went from one team, basically, to two teams, I guess, in the BCS. Now we're at four teams, and now we're jumping to 12 teams. Well, we already have the Big Ten and the SEC laying out options to try to expand it to 14 teams in 2026 and going forward. The proposals include additional automatic qualifiers, disproportionate revenue sharing, and of course, all sorts of other ideas that would benefit, go ahead and guess, that's right, the Big Ten and the SEC. Big shocker. So, they are saying that the 12-team model will provide an automatic bid to the five highest-rated conference champions. Now, I would think that would end up being the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the SEC, right? The top four are going to get first-round buys. The fifth automatic bid will go to the best champion of a so-called Group of Five league. Basically, because it gives a chance to the little guy, it gives kind of a Cinderella element. It allows maybe some areas of the country that wouldn't tune in otherwise an opportunity to have some interest in this. So give it to a Group of Five. I mean, go give it to, I don't know, Mountain West or an AAC, or give it to a smaller conference. That's fine. But why should you give conference champions the bid instead of just taking the top 12 teams? I mean, I don't care what conference you're in. I just want the best of the best. Like, we already have that problem in the NFL where we have to take a team from, I don't know, the NFC South because we go, well, I don't know, that's a geography. We got to take one team. I don't want that. Wouldn't it make sense just to take the top 12 teams? Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to end up having a top 10 ranked team left out. Mark my words, it is coming. Why? Because you had to take a team from, like I said, the AAC or the Pac-5 or whatever it's going to be. I know that everyone thinks this is a great idea. Hey, we want to get group of five. Just take the top 12. If there's a team from one of those conferences that is in the top 12, by all means, have them come. That would be great. That would be exciting. But you don't have to mandate it. Because by mandating it, you're going to end up with some good teams left out, and there's no reason to. Once again, college sports just can't seem to get out of their own way. Speaking of that, let's move over to college hoops, because it seems that Memphis head coach Penny Hardaway is involved in yet another scandal at that University of Memphis. Now remember, this is the third different investigation into his college basketball program in just 6 years with the Tigers. Hardaway and Memphis are trying to make a push for that NCAA tournament. However, they're going to have to do it without one of their best defenders, because they are saying that Malcolm Dandridge, a fifth-year senior, is not going to be eligible to play anytime soon. And they say his absence allegedly stems from an academic issue that is currently under investigation by the university's compliance department. Now, the staff was informed of this investigation early last week, and Hardaway and his assistants, they say, have been fully cooperative so far. But here's the thing. No matter what happens, whatever comes from Dandridge's situation, I don't know. This is yet another situation at Memphis where we're kind of looking at that group and going, I don't know, they seem a little bit shady. There's some bad things. Now, they're talking about, what if this escalates to an NCAA level instead of just an internal investigation? That, again, would be another investigation by the NCAA in his short time already there. Because remember, Memphis was playing James Wiseman back in 2019. Later find out that was a level one violation. Okay, so Hardaway got hit with a lack of institutional control. He got suspended for 3 games. Whatever. Who cares? He had another recruiting violation in 2022, and now we have this. Hey, if this becomes an NCAA incident, that is a chance that could be the firing process beginning for Penny Hardaway at Memphis. But let's not get this twisted. Understand this. If Hardaway does get fired, it has absolutely nothing to do with his violations. It has nothing to do with academic anything. It has nothing to do with any impropriety he may have committed. Here's what it has to do with. He's not winning. Remember this. And we talked about it here on the Dose back when it happened. Remember when Penny Hardaway took over at Memphis? Hey, he's a big-time AAU coach. He is going to pull a ton of recruits. He is going to make Memphis a contender because he has all those recruiting connections from AAU. Well, since taking over at Memphis, Penny is 130-60. And his record in the NCAA tournament, 0-2. That, and that alone, will be why he will get fired if he gets fired. This isn't an NCAA thing. NCAA has no power whatsoever. They're not going to do anything. Oh, no. This is a Memphis thing going, this is not even winning. Why are we putting up with this nonsense when he's not winning games? Hey, I'll forgive a lot of things if he's winning. He's not winning any games. Here's the problem. You can recruit and you can recruit and you can recruit and you get your AAU kids and you can do whatever. Remember the guys you're playing against every night? They know how to recruit too. Oh, and by the way, they also know how to coach. They coach their kids up. every single night. Don't think you're going to come in and show them something they haven't seen. Oh, you mean your AAU ball experience? No. You're not going against that. You're going against the best every night. And by the way, they have good recruits too. Yeah, Penny's got himself some problems. But it has nothing to do with the NCAA because the NCAA doesn't have any strength anyways. You want some proof? Oh, here's some now. Staying in college sports, an East Tennessee judge has granted an injunction in the lawsuit between the NCAA and the states of Tennessee and Virginia. It seems a ruling by Judge Clifton Croker told the NCAA that it can no longer enforce any rules related to how a prospect or portal player uses NIL to determine where they want to go play a sport. Kids, this is a death blow to the NCAA. I don't even know how they come back from that ruling. Even though the NCAA attempted to get Congress involved as a way to like enforce these rules, where we're talking about student athletes being paid, people in Washington, they got enough to worry about right now. They're not going to come do anything about this. But, I mean, the NCAA was once a feared organization, but they've been driven into the ground completely, and you know who to blame? Themselves. That's who's to blame. We all knew when the NIL stuff came out, college athletics is going to change. It's going to turn into pay for play. But the NCAA was like, oh no, we're going to enforce it. We're going to stay on top of it. Yeah, I think they're starting to realize you don't have any power. What are you going to do? If you're wondering how this injunction pertains to other states and colleges, an attorney watching the case says one federal court injunction against the defendant is just as good as 50. That's not good. So I know it's Tennessee and Virginia. Sounds like it's going to be nationwide. So where do we go from here? And the simple answer is they're going to make student athletes employees of the school. They're going to sign contracts. They're going to bind them to an agreement to play at one school for like a year or however long. And then you've got to figure out how to compensate them from the university. And I know we're going to hear that a lot of colleges can't afford it, and a lot of them can't. This is going to end collegiate sports probably as we know it on some level. I mean, you're going to have to go raise funds. You're eventually probably going to have to set a salary cap. You're going to probably have to get like, I don't know, like a general manager to go sign people at each school. Hey, this is the future of college athletics. It is minor league sports. And the NCAA, they're wishing they could be along for the ride, but I just don't see any place for them. I know that for years, we have been trying to convince ourselves that players went to our favorite universities because, well, that university is just a little bit better. It's just better than the rival. It's just better than that other school I hate. But let's be real clear. This isn't really that much of a change. This has been going on for a long time. The only difference is now it's right in front of our face. Now, is this sustainable? I have my doubts. There are a number of collegiate programs that will do fine in this era. They're going to pay money. They're going to get booster money. They're going to go hire who they want. They're going to cut who they want. They're going to get a team on the field that they want for the court. And there are a number of collegiate programs that are hemorrhaging money right now. Now, I'm going to wait and I'm going to watch and I'm going to see which programs fold their tents and just get rid of sports because I think those days are coming and I think they're coming soon. And then we'll see other schools that they just pay money. They just get booster money. It all feels a little bit dirty, a little bit greasy, but that's just how they do business. Those days are coming and they're going to be coming soon. You're going to start seeing a few schools get out of the sports business. Don't say you didn't know. Okay, coming back. Super Bowl 58 is over. The Kansas City Chiefs, of course, beat the San Francisco 49ers, and we are moving on to the NFL offseason. But we know. The NFL is now a year-round soap opera. When we come back, we are going to look at each team in the league, and we're going to discuss what their biggest off-season needs might be. We still have a lot to get to today on the Daily Dose. So today, we are going to take a look at every single team in the NFL. And I want to look at what their biggest off-season questions are. Now, keep in mind, the NFL salary cap was just set this past week, and it is big. It jumps from $224 million this past year to a whopping $255 million this next year. So keep that in mind. But before we get to our offseason needs, we do have a few NFL dates for you to also keep in mind. Now, the NFL Scouting Combine opened yesterday. It takes place in Indianapolis, Indiana. It will run this entire week until next Monday. On March 5th, which is coming very soon, the deadline is up for teams to designate their franchise or transition players. And there are a number of teams out there that have players they're going to have to designate as a franchise player. I know that kind of gets a bad rap among players, but somebody's got to do it financially. From March 11th to March 13th, teams are allowed to contact and start contract negotiations with players that are going to become unrestricted free agents. And on March 13th, 3 p.m., the new league year begins, which means unrestricted free agents can sign with any team. Now, we all know those dates, to a degree, are BS. You can't announce it until 3 p.m. on March 13th. Those teams are talking to players right now. We all know it. Everybody knows it. They can pretend that they're not, but we all know that's true. April 15th, the next month, teams that have returning head coaches can begin their off-season workout programs. April 19th, restricted free agents must sign. April 25th to the 27th, the NFL draft will be taking place in Detroit. So, like I said before at the top of the show, I know the season's over. Super Bowl's done. We don't have any football until next fall. Well, at least next late summer. But there are some things coming, and they're coming very, very quickly. Free agency is going to be here before we know it, and the NFL draft is going to be here soon as well. So kind of keep those things in mind as we jump in. But today, we are going to look at the biggest offseason questions that we have for every single NFL team. So let's start off in the AFC East, where the Buffalo Bills actually edged out the Miami Dolphins. They won the division, and the Dolphins were a wild card. So what are the biggest questions we have for the AFC East this offseason? Let's start with those Buffalo Bills, because, you know, they had a very up-and-down season. But they did rally and finish strong, only to once again come up short to the Kansas City Chiefs in the divisional round. Well, now what for Buffalo? Well, even with that larger cap, the Bills are going to be about $40 million over the cap. That's a problem. Because Micah Hyde, Leonard Floyd, Shaq Lawson, yeah, they're all going to be free agents. And I don't know how the Bills come up with the money to sign them. They don't have the money to keep what they have. Don't forget, wide receiver Stephon Diggs is always pouting. He seems like he always wants to leave. Can the Bills figure out some real creative financial ways to move money around and keep their roster somewhat intact? I don't know. I think it's going to be very, very interesting, but I also think it's not going to be very easy. Next up, we have those Miami Dolphins who did go 11-6. But then lost to Kansas City as well in the wild card game. Now, the Dolphins are estimated to be a little over the salary cap themselves, about $24 million over the cap. Well, they are already starting to schedule players to be cut. Here's my question for Miami. Are they going to pay their quarterback Tua Tagovailoa? Because they can bump his contract now and be done, or they can exercise that fifth-year option and wait till later, but that might be risky because what if he plays really well this season? He's going to earn himself some serious money. You could get yourself into some trouble. Do the Dolphins actually have true confidence in Tua? I don't know, but we're going to find out this offseason. We move next to the New England Patriots, who went 4-13 this year and ended the Bill Belichick era in New England. Well, the Pats hired linebacker coach Rob Mayo to be the new guy. Look, I understand. Bill's act had probably gotten very, very old. He had botched a number of personnel moves. He had a roster that had been depleted by those bad personnel moves. But hey, Duke a coach. So my offseason question for New England is this. What do the post-Belichick Patriots look like? Because we kind of take it for granted that that franchise, especially the defense, is going to be at least pretty well coached. They might not be the most talented. They're going to be well coached. They're going to play hard. Now, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I have a lot of questions about New England. We finish off the AFC East with those snake-bitten New York Jets, who were feeling so good last year for about, I don't know, 90 seconds. And then newly acquired quarterback Aaron Rodgers blew his Achilles, and the Jets went 7-10. So here's the question I have for the Jets. Can you fix your offensive line enough so that when Aaron comes back, if he comes back, he doesn't get killed? Because they have some money. They just have a little bit. But remember this, and this is stunning. I had to double check this. The Jets' offensive line allowed, wait for it, 64 sacks last year. Hey, that's insane. Aaron will not last much longer than 90 seconds if they don't get some help. They've got to upgrade that roster. Want to see what the Jets do this offseason. Let's move to the NFC East, where the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles made it to the playoffs, but they both flamed out in spectacular fashion. Let's go ahead and dive into this NFC East. Because the Dallas Cowboys, they went 12-5, and they hosted the Green Bay Packers in the wild card round, and then they gave up almost 50 points. They got blown out at home. So after that game, owner Jerry Jones announced he wasn't going to really make any moves with the coaching staff. Mike McCarthy is now in his final year of his head coaching contract. The Cowboys also have big contracts coming for CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, maybe even Dak Prescott. This feels like the last chance for this group as they are currently built. My question is this. Are the expectations and the pressure just going to be too much? Hey, Dallas hasn't won anything important since the 90s. Are they going to win anything this year? I don't know, but they're going to have a ton of pressure to do it. I want to see if they can live up to that. We move next to the New York Giants, who had high hopes going into this past season, but then they just completely imploded. They went 6-11, and quarterback Daniel Jones missed 8 games with injuries. Okay. So this offseason, here's my question. Do you give up on Daniel Jones already? Remember, they own the number 6 pick. There are quarterbacks that are going to be available, but the Giants just gave Jones a 4-year, $25 million deal. It's not huge money, but it's a lot of money. Do you pick a new quarterback? And let's be honest, ruin him too. Or do you trade down? Do you try to get more talent? The Giants are going to be interesting to watch. I don't know what they're going to do. The Philadelphia Eagles started last year 5-0. Man, that seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? Then they lost 6 of their next 12. They flamed out in the wild card game to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They got blown out 32-9. But here's what I want to watch. Did Philly head coach Nick Sirianni lose his locker room? That roster, they kind of look like they quit on him last year. They couldn't rally at all. So the Eagles went out and they hired a new offensive and defensive coordinator. But is that enough? Or is Sirianni actually the problem? I'm not sure. But that's going to be fascinating to find out. We finish off the NFC East with the Washington Commanders, who were 4-13 last year. Not good. So they fired their entire coaching staff. Well, now new head coach Dan Quinn takes over. And the Commanders have a lot of money. They should have about $96 million to spend under the cap. Here's the question. Can they convince anyone to come there? Because that franchise has been a disaster for a number of years. That usually means you have to overpay to get anyone to come. And when they come, they know, well, I'm coming there, but I'm not coming there to win. I'm coming there to get money. I want to get paid. I want to see if they can convince anybody to come. It's going to be interesting to watch them draft. Because remember, they have quarterback Sam Howell. He was okay. Do they keep him? Do they draft someone else? I don't know, but Washington needs to get some value this offseason. We move to the AFC North, which is one of the most competitive divisions in the league. And this offseason isn't going to be any different. The Baltimore Ravens won the division, but then they melted down in the playoffs. The Cleveland Browns and Pittsburgh Steelers both made the playoffs, but both of them got blown out in the wildcard round. So, what is the AFC North going to look like this offseason? Well, let's start with those Baltimore Ravens. They finished the season as the top seed in the AFC. They went 13-4. They blew out the Houston Texans in the division round. And the table was set for them to go to the Super Bowl. All they had to do, beat KC at home. They only lost 17-10. It doesn't sound that bad, but it looks so much worse than that. And based on that game, I have to ask, will they ever get quarterback Lamar Jackson some real, true, bona fide help? Look, I know they tried. I do. They drafted Zay Flowers. They signed Odell Beckham. They signed Nelson Aguilar. But the only player to really step up and produce anything was Flowers. And there are also 13 unrestricted free agents on that Baltimore defense. Hey, the Ravens are going to have to revamp that roster to get Lamar help, and it is not going to be easy to do so. Baltimore is going to be interesting to watch. The Cincinnati Bengals had a very rough season in 2023. After looking like a title contender, they lost quarterback Joe Burrow to a wrist injury. He missed 7 games, and they finished at 9-8. Okay, so what will they do this offseason? Well, the Bengals have some money. They've got about $52 million. But they also have some big-name free agents. DJ Reader, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, they're all set to be unrestricted free agents. And don't forget, this offensive line, it seems like it's getting a little better, but they allowed 50 quarterback sacks. So the Bengals have money. Here's the question. How efficient can they be with that money? Because you've got a lot of work to do, and you've got a lot of talent to try to sign. I don't know if you have enough money to do that. Cincinnati's got to be very, very smart this offseason. We move to the Cleveland Browns, who have to be feeling pretty good. I mean, they made the playoffs for the first time in, what, decades? The Browns went 11-6. They have a very talented defense. Okay, so now what? Well, Joe Flacco was the quarterback that kind of saved that season. But Flacco's 39. He is a free agent. And remember, the Browns are paying Deshaun Watson that insane 5-year deal worth $230 million. So my question for Cleveland is quite simple. Who's your quarterback? It should be Deshaun, right? But he hasn't looked good since coming back from, well, you know. They are about $7 million over the cap, so they might have to cut some people. Hey, the Browns really need Deshaun Watson to give them some kind of return. Any kind of return. Do something. If he does, they could be in okay shape. If not, what are you going to do? Bring Joe Flacco back again? Seems like that might not work again. We finish up the AFC North with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who made the postseason, but then lost in the wildcard game to the Buffalo Bills. But the Steelers are insisting that Kenny Pickett is their quarterback. But then they also say they want to bring in some competition for him because Mason Rudolph and Mitch Trubisky should be gone. They're both free agents. They'll probably be gone. So here's my question. Is Pittsburgh really sold on Kenny Pickett as a bona fide NFL starter? Because when you say you want him to be your guy, but then you also say we want to bring in competition for him, that makes me think he's not really your guy. This all feels dicey. And Pittsburgh really doesn't have much money. So what are they going to do? It looks like Kenny Pickett or bust. And I don't know how much I trust him. Be interesting to find out. Let's get one more division in here, and then we'll take a quick break. And that is the NFC North. The Detroit Lions won the division. They were 12-5. And the Green Bay Packers were actually one of the biggest surprises of the season. They earned a wild card berth, and then they beat Dallas, and they almost beat San Francisco. So what does the NFC North need to do this offseason? Well, let's start off with the Chicago Bears. Because the Bears went just 7-10, but they started to show a few flashes. They started to show improvement. And some of those improvements were due to quarterback Justin Fields finally starting to look like a bona fide quarterback, at least at times. Well, the Bears have the number one pick in the draft this spring. Okay, so if you believe in Justin Fields, then you could either trade down and add more talent, offensive line, running backs, wide receivers, defense, or you don't, and you take a quarterback at number one. Hey, the entire NFL is waiting to see what the Bears do. They are the linchpin of this coming 2024 NFL draft, and I don't have a clue, but I can't wait to find out. The Detroit Lions exceeded all expectations. They went 12-5. They beat the Los Angeles Rams. They beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then they were leading the San Francisco 49ers 24-7 in the NFC Championship game. But then they went all Detroit Lions on us. And that was the end of the season. What a great season, though. Hey, they have a lot of money this offseason. They could actually go get more talent. Here's my question I want to watch. How do the Detroit Lions deal with actually having expectations? Because the Lions never have expectations. You know their expectation? You're going to be terrible this year. Well, hey, this year they're going to have real ones. That can be tough to deal with. I want to see what Detroit does. The Green Bay Packers, like I said, were one of the biggest surprises of the NFL. They are the youngest team in the NFL. And they won a playoff game. And I have a feeling they're going to be looking for even more this year. Well, the Packers only have about $12 million in cap space. Okay. Well, they have to love the progress that quarterback Jordan Love made this last year. But here's my question for them. What do they do with their offensive line? Because that line did struggle a little bit at times. Left tackle David Bakhtiari, he's hurt more than he's healthy. And he's costing them a ton of money. Running back A.J. Dillon is an unrestricted free agent. Okay, so do you cut Bakhtiari to save money and move on with his replacement? That's a big risk because Bakhtiari, when healthy, is very good. I'm not sure what Green Bay is going to do, but they may need to shore up that offensive line just a little bit. Let's finish off the NFC North with the Minnesota Vikings, who have a ton of questions this offseason. The Vikings went 7-10, and 36-year-old quarterback Kirk Cousins blew his Achilles. Oh, and also, yeah, he's a free agent. Okay, so the Vikings should have around $40 million. But does Kirk Cousins come back? Does he give them a hometown discount so they can have money for other players? Because they clearly need other talent on this team. They need to upgrade their roster. That's not going to be easy if you're strapped for money. So will Cousins come back, and will he give them a hometown deal? I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to watch. Okay, coming back. We still need to get over to the South and West divisions in the NFL, including the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. And I know, the Chiefs just keep rolling and rolling and rolling. But I'm telling you right now, they actually have some concerns this offseason. We're going to get to the Chiefs and a number of other teams when we get back. So let's finish up our NFL offseason questions, and we go next to the AFC South. You know, for years, the AFC South, it's been a little bit of an ugly stepchild, I guess. But the division is improving. I mean, the Houston Texans surprised everyone last year. They go 10-7. They won the division. And then they actually won a playoff game. Now, the three other teams, well, they missed the postseason, but they have some talent. They're hoping to improve. So let's start with those Houston Texans. Quarterback C.J. Stroud was a unanimous rookie of the year. And the future with him looks very, very bright. He looked so much better than we expected. He looked so cool under pressure. He throws a very accurate pass. Just never seemed like the moment was too big for him. The defense actually was better than we expected. Head coach DeMeco Ryans completely turned this team around. And the Texans also have $73 million in cap space. Well, here's the question I have. Do they go make a run at a big name? There are a number of places they could upgrade on this roster. Did they go do that? Or, and this might be just as important, can they keep their own free agents? Because the Texans have a number of both offensive and defensive linemen that are set to be free agents, including their defensive sack leader, Jonathan Grenard. You could have a huge offseason. If you could keep everybody and maybe pick up another piece or two, I think the Houston Texans could be a challenger in the AFC, as crazy as that sounds. I mean, remember, they were just like the number one pick the last 2 years. They've turned it around that quick, but they need to have a good offseason because if they lose some people in free agency, this could slow them down quite a bit. Houston's going to be fun to watch. Next, we move to the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the Colts went 9-8 this last year, but they did win 6 of their last 9 games, but they won them with veteran quarterback Gardner Minshew, who stepped in for injured rookie quarterback Anthony Richardson. Okay, so here's a question. Does Indy stick with Minshew? Because he's an unrestricted free agent, he can go anywhere. Or do they go find another veteran? Or do they actually trust Richardson enough that he's actually going to stay healthy coming off of that shoulder injury? Hey, the Colts are another team. They have money. They can go make some moves in free agency, but I don't know what they're going to do with their quarterback. And we know in this league, it's kind of a big position. Indy's quarterback situation is definitely going to be something to watch. The Jacksonville Jaguars, honestly, it's kind of quiet, but they were one of the biggest disappointments in 2023. Because remember, they made the playoffs last year. And they even won a game in 2022 in the postseason. So we thought, okay, Jacksonville's on the rise. They should win the AFC South. But the expectations kind of seemed like they were too much. And the Jags went just 9-8. Well, Jacksonville does have about $30 million in cap space. But they also have a very key free agent. Pass rusher Josh Allen, who, by the way, racked up 17.5 sacks last year. Yeah, he's a free agent. Now, keep this in mind. The Jags defense, it wasn't great with him. But I don't know that you can afford to lose him. That might be too much for them. If Jacksonville is going to be successful, I think they probably need to keep Josh Allen. But that won't be easy. They don't have a ton of money. Jacksonville needs to keep at least who they have. We finish up the AFC South with the Tennessee Titans, who honestly, they look like they are headed toward a massive rebuild. You know, the Titans were a playoff contender just a few years ago. I mean, I guess you could even say they were a little bit of a title contender, but now they're older. The roster needs to be rebuilt. And what I want to watch this offseason is running back Derrick Henry gone? Is he finished? Because he is set to be a free agent and they say he wants to win. He doesn't want to be part of a rebuild process. Well, if that's the case, I think Derrick Henry might be gone. Tennessee has some money, but they have so many needs. They have so many other pieces that they need to put together to even be competitive. I don't know that they can afford to keep Derrick Henry when it sounds like he wants to go play for contender. That's bad news for Tennessee. Tennessee going to have a tough offseason, I think. Let's move next to the NFC South, which was expected to not be very good this past year. And mostly they lived up to the hype, or the lack of hype, or whatever. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the division, but they won it with just a 9-8 record. But then they actually were kind of a pain in the postseason. They at least battled, and you had to beat Tampa to finally end it. No one else in the division made the postseason. Let's look at the NFC South, though. And we start off with the Atlanta Falcons. Now, the Falcons went 7-10. And they actually had a legit shot to make the playoffs, but they lost 7 of their last 10 games, and they got their head coach fired. Now, I know there's a lot of questions about quarterback Desmond Ridder, and I get it. I don't know if he's a bona fide quarterback. I really don't. But here's another question. The Falcons went and hired Raheem Morris to be their head coach. Is Raheem Morris a bona fide head coach? I know we're not sure if they have a bona fide quarterback, but is he even a bona fide head coach? Remember that the Falcons passed up on Bill Belichick to get Morris. Also, remember that Raheem Morris has been a head coach in the NFL before. He coached for Tampa. He went 17-31. That's not good. The Falcons could have had a legend. Instead, they went with Raheem Morris. Let's see if that's the right move. We move next to the Carolina Panthers, who went just 2-15 this past year. And honestly, Carolina was mostly horrible for all of 2023. And the Panthers have to be asking themselves this very important question that I'm going to ask too. Is Bryce Young really their guy? Because they went and drafted him. He's going to be their quarterback, top pick in the draft. And he didn't look all that good last year. Now, the Panthers have a new coach. They have Dave Canales. He has a solid history of reviving quarterbacks' careers. He actually brought Geno Smith back from the dead. He revived Baker Mayfield this last year at Tampa. This one might be tougher, though, because not only are we unsure about Bryce Young, but he doesn't have much of a supporting cast. So it's even tougher with Bryce Young because he's not going to get much help. Carolina has a lot of questions to answer. The New Orleans Saints finished 9-8. They just missed the playoffs. But here is the bad news for the Saints. They're currently set to be about $36 million over the salary cap. Okay, so how do you get under the cap without completely tearing your roster apart? Well, quarterback Derek Carr says he is willing to renegotiate his deal. But this franchise has massive contract problems. I don't know that that renegotiation is going to free up that much money. Hey, I want to watch this year. Are the Saints able to balance their books and kind of keep their roster intact? They weren't that far off of a playoff spot last year. Shore some things up, improve a little bit, and maybe it could be better. But the Saints have some serious financial concerns. We finish off the NFC South with the surprising Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who made the playoffs, then beat the Philadelphia Eagles, and gave the Detroit Lions all they wanted to. Okay, so could the Bucs be a team to watch this next year? Well, maybe. But they do have some serious concerns. Here's my question. Quarterback Baker Mayfield is going to be a free agent. So is wide receiver Mike Evans. So is cornerback Antoine Winfield. The Bucs have $48 million to spend. Can you keep all three of those guys? Oh, and also maybe get a little bit better on that offensive line? I don't know. That isn't going to be easy. Tampa has some contracts they're going to have to figure out, and they're going to have to do it very, very wisely because they don't have that much money to spend, and they have some big names to try to pull in. We move to the AFC West, where once again, this division mostly underachieved. And yet, it did still produce a Super Bowl winner because the Kansas City Chiefs won their third Super Bowl in 5 years, and these days, that counts as a dynasty. I don't count it, but everyone else does. The rest of the division, though, pretty disappointing. Really not that impressive. They all have a ton of room for improvement. So let's start off with my Denver Broncos, who went 8-9. And at the end of the year, it really came unraveled. They benched quarterback Russell Wilson because they didn't want him getting hurt. Because if they have to cut him injured, it would cost them a ton of money. So it looks like they're just going to cut him healthy. But here's the question for Denver. Who's the quarterback going to be? Oh, and by the way, Denver's about $13 million over the cap. So they're going to have to get real creative. And they're going to have to find a bargain basement quarterback. Now, do they just go draft somebody? And whoever it is, hey, we're riding with you. JJ McCarthy, whoever, Spencer Rattler, we're riding with you. You're our guy. It's going to be a really challenging offseason for my Denver Broncos. Okay, so we move to the Super Bowl champions. And as great as quarterback Patrick Mahomes was this past year, make no mistake, the defense was the key to winning that Super Bowl. I know, we're already going to put Patrick Mahomes as the GOAT or whatever. But remember this, the Chiefs allowed less than 16 points per game in the postseason. Now that's the good news. Here's the bad news. Defensive tackle Chris Jones and Michael Dana, linebacker Willie Gay, linebacker Drew Tranquil, and quarterback L'Jarius Sneed, they're all set to be free agents. Hey, the Chiefs have about $28 million to spend, but that's a lot of guys to sign with just $28 million. That's not that much money. They're going to have to be really, really creative with their contracts. Now, here's the good news for the Chiefs. And I'm not making excuses for them by any means because you know my feelings about the Chiefs. But I will say this. The advantage they have, they may be able to get a few bargains because guys are going to want to play with Patrick Mahomes. Guys are going to want to play for a title. So they may be able to get a few steals in free agency. They may be able to get a few deals, but they still have some challenges. And as we saw, that defense won them a title. So you've either got to get that defense all back, or you probably better go upgrade that offense. I don't know. You've got to be a little bit creative. Kansas City is going to be very, very interesting to watch in that regard. We move to the Las Vegas Raiders, who actually rallied down the stretch a little bit. They finished on a positive note. Remember, the Raiders started 5-8, but then they won three of their last four games after they fired head coach Josh McDaniels. Antonio Pierce took over. Well, now we're going to find out if Antonio Pierce is actually the real deal. I know. Forgive me for being skeptical. But remember this. The Raiders are currently paying, what, three, four different coaches right now that they've had to fire and they're still paying. But what I want to see is, do they stick with Aiden O'Connell at quarterback? Because he went 5-5 after taking over for Jimmy Garoppolo. Because Jimmy Garoppolo was mostly awful and also injured. By the way, then we found out Jimmy G was juicing. Shouldn't cheating make you better? I thought it was supposed to. I didn't see any signs of that. But they say Jimmy Garoppolo was cheating, but he wasn't very good. I don't know. Bottom line, I want to see what the Raiders do at quarterback. I think that's going to be very, very interesting. The Los Angeles Chargers looked like a contender on paper last year. They looked like a Super Bowl contender. But then they did what they do. They lost games that they had no business losing. And they ended up firing head coach Brandon Staley. So they went out and they hired Jim Harbaugh away from Michigan. Hey, that's great news. This feels like a perfect fit. Harbaugh has won everywhere he has been. He has won in California with both Stanford and San Francisco. The Chargers have a very talented roster. They look great again. Well, maybe. Because the Chargers are about $20 million over the cap right now. Oh, and by the way, they've got some free agents. Khalil Mack, Austin Eckler, Nick Williams, Austin Johnson. They're all going to be unrestricted. Plus, that offensive line wasn't very good. The Chargers are going to have to figure out how to do more with less. Can they be smart with their money, which they don't have? Can they be smart with their roster? Because you literally are already over the cap. The Chargers made a good move in their coaching hire. I really believe they did. But that doesn't guarantee immediate success because they're going to have to pay for some sins that the previous regime committed. Our final division this week on the Daily Dose is the NFC West, which again was pretty competitive. And it did give us the NFC champion San Francisco 49ers. But the Los Angeles Rams were also a playoff team, and they were a pretty dangerous playoff team. Okay, so let's see how our final division is going to look this offseason. And we start with the worst team in the division, and that, of course, is those Arizona Cardinals. Yes, the Cardinals went just 4-13, but I will say this. After coming back from that knee injury, and there being so many questions about what to do with him, and what Arizona would do if they had a top pick, I actually think quarterback Kyler Murray kind of reminded this franchise, hey, no, I can play. Don't forget about me. I can be pretty dangerous. In just 8 games, Kyler accounted for 13 touchdowns. So my question is not actually, will Arizona look to go get a quarterback? My question is this, who do they get to help Kyler? Because the Cardinals have $57 million in cap space. They also have not one, but 2 first-round draft picks. Hey, go build your roster, Arizona. You've got money. You've got resources. Go put some people around Kyler Murray. You can win with him as long as he stays healthy. I want to watch what the Cardinals do this offseason. The Los Angeles Rams impressed me a little bit this last year. I'll be honest. I wasn't expecting much. But they rallied. They made it to the playoffs. They nearly beat the Detroit Lions. But the question I have is this. Can their veteran players do it again? Because the Rams have a little bit of money. They got about $50 million. And their free agents are at least manageable. But remember this. You have 30-year-old wide receiver Cooper Kupp, who is hurt more than he's healthy. You have 32-year-old Aaron Donald, who is still very dominating, but is starting to show a little bit of his age. And then you have 36-year-old quarterback Matt Stafford. Well, these guys played really, really well for this team this last year. Can they do it again? Can they stay healthy? That hasn't been the case all the time. Stafford's missed time. Kupp has missed time. And you wonder, how long can Aaron Donald take that beating every single year and stay healthy? So I want to see, can the Rams keep those key players on the field this year? The San Francisco 49ers, of course, looked like the most talented team in the NFL, honestly, for most of the season. But once again, they failed to win the big one. They were out-executed and outsmarted by the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So what am I looking for this offseason with the San Francisco 49ers? Honestly, can they avoid history? Hey, Super Bowl losers do not fare well in the NFL. They just don't. Exactly 2 teams have lost the Super Bowl and then come back the next year to win a Super Bowl. It isn't easy. That isn't a coincidence. It's really hard to do. We're going on almost 60 years of the Super Bowl. It's happened twice. It's tough. Can the San Francisco 49ers avoid the Super Bowl loser curse. I'm telling you right now, it won't be easy. I know they're talented. I know they have talent all over the field. It will not be easy. And they have some real logistical concerns on that roster. But it won't be easy. It just won't. We finish off our NFL offseason preview of what to look for this offseason. And we reach the Seattle Seahawks. Now, the Seahawks took a bit of a step back this past year. They went 9-8. They missed the postseason. And then, after the season, the Seattle front office informed head coach Pete Carroll he would not be back as the head coach. Now, the Seahawks are going to be guided by former Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator Mike McDonald. Well, we're kind of just used to seeing the Seahawks be pretty competitive every year with Carroll, right? I mean, Pete Carroll in Seattle won 61% of his games. Well, here's my question. What do the Seahawks look like now? What is going to be the identity of the post-Pete Carroll Seahawks? I honestly don't know. But I'll be honest, I'm really looking forward to finding out because I want to see who are they going to be. Hey, this offseason in the NFL, once again, it's going to be really, really interesting. We have teams that are trying to move up. We have teams that we know are going to slide down. And we have a number of really, really good top teams. They've got a number of questions to take care of if they're going to be back in the driver's seat again next year. Hey, next week on the Daily Dose, we've been kind of waiting. We've been kind of stalling, but I'm telling you right now, it's coming. We're going to launch into probably 2, 3, 4 weeks of nothing but very, very heavy March Madness content. We are going to be getting you ready for the tournament. We are going to be getting you ready by telling you who you should be looking for in your brackets. Hey, the bottom line, when we get to March Madness, we want to fill out those brackets correctly, right? The Daily Dose is going to help you do exactly that. So get ready for some very, very March Madness flavored Daily Dose episodes. They will be coming for you in the next few weeks. I encourage you, tune into the Daily Dose and let a friend know to do the same. You know you want to win that money. That is the bottom line when we get to March Madness. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
It's their uniforms. They're too tight. They've shrunk. They're running like penguins.